Happiness. Let's talk about happiness for a moment. I feel that oftentimes we have one of those little words that come by that have ever so much to do with our daily lives that we don't really stop, survey, analyze, what does this word mean? There can be synthetic happinesses, and a lot of people don't know the difference between joy and happiness. There is a difference. Many things bring us joy for a moment. Well, I'm really happy today. No, you're joyous today. Happy is the prime root, if you would, of your state of mind in life, or perhaps to simplify it, peace of mind. You either have it or you don't. You can be void of peace of mind and still have joy for a moment. One of those days you say, boy, I really feel good today. If you don't have that happiness below that joy, you're going to run out of gas pretty quick. You're going to wake up the next day. The joy is gone. Joy is one of those highlights in life. Joy, pleasure. Our very love itself stimulated by fellowship, doing something we really enjoy doing, really makes you happy. No, it makes you joyous. Happiness. And what I'm using here is the Greek word makarios. Makarios is translated into the English many times, blessed. And the correct translation is blessed happiness. Boy, hey, that even identifies it. Many times people will use the word, instead of blessed happiness, they will use the word beatitude. And you know them from our Father's Word as the Beatitudes. We have happiness. It comes in many forms in our daily lives. That is to say, in different degrees, such as national, communities, a state, community, family, and self. Let's take national, international for a moment. I know very few people that have not traveled abroad in some of the lands, especially at times such as old combat Marines such as myself have traveled, participated in some exercises that are not really all that pleasant. But to really see people when they're down, you know, I can remember during World War II, I can remember the English Channel, and I can remember the channel that goes up to Antwerp, Belgium, where the Dutch, which were really a pretty thriving people, tulip fields, windmills, would come aboard ship and go through our garbage cans digging out hotcake scraps, old coffee, sacking it to reuse, and men standing in line to wash our dishes to get a little scrap of bread or a hot cake or a part of an egg or something that might be left over. I know that you young people probably have trouble. Could that really have happened? It happened. And these were, many of them, Christian people. And having come from the Depression era myself, I always made sure I left an extra egg or something on the plate, you know, so that they would have more food. Now, we in this nation, though we have problems, are very fortunate indeed. And I know very few people that haven't said, oh, it's so good to be back home, to live in a place where there is a dictator or there is communism or socialism to the degree that, as it is obvious to a wise person in this generation, it doesn't work. To have what we have, where an individual can still choose, make the choice to be what they want to, as long as you want it bad enough and you're not a quitter. Many people tire and they kind of get discouraged and they quit, and God won't bless you if you do things that way. So you're not going to find that peace of mind or happiness if you're not a can-do type person in the Lord. Naturally, peace of mind comes from our Father. peace of mind even in our families. Many families are Christian families, but without that peace of mind at the center of the family, adults can act like children in what they argue over or find to contest. Like, which way do we want that table, this way or that way, and so forth. And Satan moves in and causes a little disgruntled one that's a little tired, or it's too hot a day, or it's too cold a day, to take advantage of our human traits, the flesh, and just has a heyday with you, and he stands over in the corner and laughs himself silly while two Christians fight or argue like little children. Well, I shouldn't say like little children. I don't think they're that bad sometimes. In counseling, I've had one family that divorced almost over the way a package of wieners was opened. You know, I'm serious, very serious. They were incompatible, of course. But, hey, if you don't have anything more important in your life to argue over than how a package of wieners are open, one of the old standbys most often between couples, especially if they use the same kind of toothpaste, and I'll give you a clue, always switch. It's better to switch to a brand of your own if you do like me. You squeeze it wherever it's the easiest to squeeze. And it's not as neat, perhaps, as it should be. I'm neat in many things, but I guess my tube of toothpaste is pretty gross. But anyway, it's not something to argue over, okay? It's not that important. Individually, we all have our own little traits. God didn't make us alike, all right? I know a lot of people say, we're all alike. We're all human beings. I've known many people in my life, and I don't think I've ever met two that were exactly alike. And do you know something? I've never known a person. Let me think now real quickly. I don't think I've ever met a person that I didn't learn something from them or like. Find something I could say, hey, this one has these good traits. They have this hang up, all right? But every group should have one like that. All right? Every group should have, and just love them for that. That's them. All right? Everybody has their own little traits and things. And if it is really a sloppy habit, try to compromise and find your way. Hey, I'm talking about happiness, and here I'm getting off in family problems. Any of you have any of these things we're talking about? Or I don't know. I didn't really intend to discuss that. But it's easier to have peace of mind where you have a foundation that how a package of wieners are open couldn't even scratch the surface of the beautiful relationship that you have in your family because you're adults in Christ. You're mature Christians. And you live in a nation. Don't ever forget to be thankful for it. I know people talk about the times. Yeah, they're kind of bad, but hey. And I know some of you younger people get tired of hearing us people that lived through the Depression, but we were happy. Sure, the times were rough, but we made it fine. I'm going to tell you what. I could take a spool of thread after it was well used, usually patching clothes or something like that, a rubber band if I could find one, two matchsticks and a piece of soap. I could make a tractor that was a lot more fun to play with than some of these remote jobs you got today, all right? For me as a kid, that was happiness. Do you know what I mean? It was joy, really. I'm saying, learn to make do with what you have till you can do better. There's never a disgrace in a person being poor or down. It's a disgrace to stay that way, all right? Let's get back on the subject of happiness. Happiness, peace of mind comes from only one place, and that's our Father. And if you don't have Him as the centerpiece of your family, the family setting, I can show you a family that has problems. I can show you a family that's torn at times, though they may have those moments of joy. When the joy is gone, it's like Monday morning coming around if you're not careful with some people, you know. Monday's a good day. Hey, that's the day to start another week for the Lord, you know. It's never really blue. if you're really serving Him and you have that peace of mind to know that along with your regular job or whatever you do, you're going to have that point to make somebody aware of true happiness, because you're a sign. A Christian should be a sign of it. I'm not to say that we're all supposed to be a bunch of perfect little angels. Now, we all have our problems. But problems don't amount to that much if you have that foundation called happiness. Makarios. Which is to say, blessed happiness. A happiness that will not leave you. Why? Hey, if you understand where happiness comes from, you don't have to be afraid of anything. But you don't have to worry about anything. You have to be concerned and plan your day to be a can-do type person, to get out there and get it, and don't quit till you do. And then relax in the accomplishment. Because God, you see, a person that has that peace of mind knows that as long as you do it in the Father's name, whether it's your work or whatever, that when He sees you struggling, He's going to come over and help you. Just the same as if one of your grandchildren or your children or one of your brothers or sisters, you younger people, if you saw them really striving for something you could do well, and you let them try because they've got to learn, and they just don't give up. They just keep at it, and they are determined. You can't hardly help going over and saying, let me just help you here with this just a little bit, and then it'll come together for you. Don't you think our Heavenly Father does the same thing when He sees you struggle? If you've got happiness, you know He does. You're as sure of it, you know that He never forsakes you nor leaves you alone. And it's so easy to get frustrated and lose patience when things aren't going just as they should, until you take that deep breath, a sigh, and turn away and say, Father, I think this is one I'm going to have some help with. I just can't seem to get it to help me mentally understand this where I can accomplish it. Or touch the minds of some people, change them for me. And if it is His will, He'll do it. That's what brings happiness, is knowing that you're not a flesh body that's going to pass away soon, but that within that flesh body, you see the inner man. You live the inner man. And you know that that inner man has eternal life. I'm talking about your spiritual body and soul. Yourself. And you know that this is just a time passing through. And you're going to make hay while the sun shines. You're going to accomplish your part of it. When it's all over and it's said and done, they're going to say about you, that person was happy. Every time I saw that person, they were happy. And then they begin to realize where that happiness comes from. Is from your Father, and the fact that He changes things for those that have the faith in Him to know He changes things. I would suppose that this little ministry right here in Northwest Arkansas started in an old roller rink down here, and now it's the fastest growing, and we are in more homes than any other Christian network on television in America today. What did it? God did it. God did it. I sure didn't. And many of you, though we've all labored, we could not have done it. But God accomplished it. So we can't take credit for it, but we can be happy that we had a part in it and that He used you. And do you know something? He's never left us or forsaken us, because the growth continues almost faster than we can absorb the thoughts of it, you know. It's like swimming a wide river. It gets wider and wider, and the current gets swifter and swifter. And soon you learn, Lord, as long as I swim downstream, just keep us going. don't try to go upstream. Just go with Him. You find that happiness. I bet all of you knew I was going to go to the Proverbs in this. because we're going to the prime in the Scriptures of where happiness truly comes from. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. The third proverb, those sayings from where we acquire wisdom, understanding. I want you to remember the word happy. I don't want you to confuse happy with joy. Happy is something that stays with you. Even in hard times, you're happy because you know you're going to beat it. You know you're going to overcome. Proverbs 3:13. Happy, I repeat, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Don't ever forget that, beloved. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. About what? Well, let's read on. For the merchandise of it, or of her, I would rather translate it, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Why? If you have wisdom and understanding, those things follow anyway. The father adds them on. If you've got a pocket full of gold, some sharpie will come along and beat you out of it in 6 months if you don't have, or sooner if you don't have wisdom. He'll always come up and say, "Hey, have I got a deal for you?" All right? But with wisdom and understanding, God adds blessings, riches to his people when it's meant to be. Some of us just can't handle wealth, I guess, because God only gives us what we can take care of, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. That's fair enough. But wisdom and blessings show you God's, they get those material things for you, because when you're happy in the world, you do a better job than anybody else, you get paid more, and you learn to not get involved in usury, so you're not paying your soul to the country store, which so many people, as wise and as educated as people are in this world today, this nation, and they'll use credit cards for other things than renting cars or something like that and paying the bill at the first of the month. For heaven's sakes, don't get involved in usury. That's not wise. Go to the bank and borrow money at 8 or 9 or 10% rather than paying 18, 19, or 20% on some credit card. Think. Use a little wisdom. God never blesses me. Well, do you ever use your brain? He tries, but many people don't give him a chance. Why? Happy is the man that gets wisdom. What did God tell you? And I'm only using this as an example. Don't get involved in usury. You can pay for it yourself. Do without it a little while, and you'll own it twice as quick. Now, I'm not talking about homes and things of this nature, but you understand what I'm talking about. 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom with understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Do you understand that? In other words, if you have wisdom and understanding, power is what length of days is, the power to be healthy and also the power to survive. And in the left hand, the riches and honor. Can't help following a wise person. And then you judge wisdom. What is wise? Not wisdom of the street or the world, but wisdom from your father's letter, which is always the most perfect counsel that you can attain. 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That's your peace of mind, beloved. Happy is the person that can think wisdom with understanding. She is a tree of life. You know what the tree of life is? That's Christ. Christ is our peace of mind. He's the brother that watches over you when all other scatter and say, "I don't want nothing else to do with you." He's there saying, "Come on, let's get it done." Always with you. The tree of life to them that lay hold upon her And happy, I repeat, happy is everyone that retaineth her. Hang on to her, beloved. Hold her close. Happy is the person that gains wisdom from his or her father and acts upon it. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Now listen to me. If an object is made out of a certain material or was put together with a certain method, you're going to have to learn that method before you can fix it. Your Father is telling you here, if you think for a moment, I created this earth by wisdom. I spoke and nothing became everything. You could think about that a moment and think of His power and say, what have I got to worry about? You know, because His power is behind you if you are happy, if your base, the base of your life is based upon that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You don't worry about little things like wrappings on wieners. You're too mature for that. You're ready to think about important things. Make sound decisions. That's why the rubies and the silver and the gold are added at the left hand. And the right hand is that power which is the tree of life. And I hope you know by now, Jesus Christ. Because He loves you. He cares. He cares more about you than any other individual. And that's why He said, if you follow Me, I know in the King, good old King James, it said you got to hate your wife, but it's not true from the Greek. It's you got to love them less than Me. And that's all right, because He's always with us, and He makes sure that our love for others is so rich and so increases itself that we're happy. And my friend, don't let anyone rob you of happiness. It's too easy to gain it. It's too easy to have it, to let someone rob you. And Satan is standing in line first, beloved, to talk to you out of this side or that side, or when you have your attention all wrapped up somewhere else. What is wisdom? It's being on guard as well as knowing how to live even on the street. So, happiness again. Yeah, you can be joyful for a moment. But happiness is based upon wisdom and understanding. Verse 20, by His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. In other words, by God's knowledge in creating this earth, the little spot of dust that goes up and the moisture that was in the air forms upon that little drop of dust, and you have a droplet and rain falls back to take care of the animals that man never sees or to grow the grass that man never tills. God's perfect plan and wisdom. Don't let all that go to waste, beloved. Don't let all this wisdom go to waste that He has written you when it can make you happy. You see, He also created you, your body, and He sent this long as the instructions on how you work it. But most people, like they do if they buy some complicated toy to put together for the little one or piece of furniture, oh, I could fix it. I don't need to read the instructions. I'll put it together. And they get it all put together, and here's this one little piece left over that the whole thing centers on, usually. And apart it has to come. It's torn up, just like some of your lives are when you don't go back to the maker of this thing and do it His way. He said, hey, it'll work real good if you'll do it this way. Don't argue with Him. Do it His way by at least reading the instructions. And then He has done a beautiful thing. He said, you're a free man. After you've read it and understand it, do it the way you're comfortable with. Make your own choices. By that I mean He simply gave you free will. Find happiness. But the bottom line is you will find it in wisdom, and all wisdom comes from God, your Father. You're made in His image. He cries. You cry. He laughs. You laugh like father, like child. He is supernatural, yes. He's our loving Father, meaning He has the power. But He has the same emotions you do. Take His wisdom for yourself. Don't listen to any man, this man or any other man, without checking him out in your Father's letter. Because people, honest mistakes are made in translations or by teachers, and sometimes not meaningful, meaning to mislead. Because your Father expects you to love Him enough that you check it out. It's a simple letter. 21, My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Don't ever let sound wisdom get away from you. Do you know what happens to you when you do? You're in trouble, friend. You just blew it. You made a mistake. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to start all over again. So keep that foremost in your mind. Think. And use common sense. So shall they be so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Your neck is where your weak spot is. You know, it's used because in the old days when we used sabers and swords and things like that, if you ever got your foot on a man's neck, it was almost over. In other words, that's your weak place, but wisdom will protect that for you. Keep it. And you won't be exposing your neck, even in a spiritual sense. I say that today because I'm going to tell you something. It's more dangerous today, your neck is, for somebody that really wants to serve the Lord because of Satan. Satan hates people that really serve the Lord and try to find wisdom and find this happiness. He's going to take advantage of you every time he gets an opportunity. But that's your promise. God will protect your neck, your weak spot, as long as you use wisdom and common sense. I didn't intend to, but if I remember right, there's a beautiful, over in chapter 4, the following chapter. Okay, just let me read real quickly, without comment, if I may. Hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. I give you the truth. Forsake ye not my law. That's to say my way. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And I would add, live again eternally. Get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, cling to it, beloved, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Why? Because you are happy in your Father's hand. Life is so much more pleasure when you're a happy person. And that happiness comes, again, from knowing that your Father is in control. Now, I can't help but go to the Beatitudes. What does the word Beatitude mean? I've already stated it. It means blissful happiness. More than just, I'm really happy. Now, blissful happiness. In other words, it's knowing that you're all right and that you can be so sure of yourself. See, the only place that a person can attain security and peace of mind is to know and not doubt. That's where faith comes in. Everything's all right. Turn with me while I'm speaking to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go to the Beatitudes because what it says there, the word blessed as it is translated in the English, into the English, from the word makoros, or it comes from a prime, just plain old makar, like your maker. Now, that's not what it means, but I'm helping you remember what the word means in the Greek, makar. Matthew chapter 5. The eight Beatitudes. Those of you that wish to carry this a step further than I intend to today, in Matthew 23, there are eight woes that go hand in hand with these eight Beatitudes. In other words, they're the opposite. And those of you that have companion Bibles, you have an appendix in the back that goes into quite a study on the Beatitudes versus the woes. In other words, what Satan will get for you and what God will get for you. Chapter 5, verse 1 in the great book of Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Always rightly divide the word of God. Who's he talking to here? The multitude? No, his disciples, those that wish to discipline themselves. That's what the word disciple means, to discipline themselves in as followers of Christ. He's talking to you. In other words, not just a multitude where there is a mix. This is deep wisdom for you. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed. Now, again, beloved, please remember what that word means. Blessed. Makar. M-A-A-R. I-O-U-S, spelled in the Greek. It means, with the prime being simply makar. Means to be blissfully happy. This is how you find that happiness. It's fine-tuned a little here for you. And beloved, it's worth going after. Go for it. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All blessings basically are addressed toward the kingdom of heaven. Why? That's the king and his dominion that is eternal, and everything else is going to be gone. Happy are you if you are humble in spirit. Now, some might say, well, what do you mean humble in spirit? Well, many times God gives people gifts. In my case, he gave me the gift of teaching. And it would be real easy for an old country boy to say, hey, I'm on more stations than any other ministry in this country because I'm good. God would probably strike me. That's when I would fall off here. You see, it's his gift, not mine. You understand that? You see, many people just can't stand being humble to know, thank you, Father. Hey, we love you for having done this for us. But he's the one that gets the credit, not us. Okay? That keeps you humble before him. And hey, you can't con him.
Well, I know it's hard for someone that knows everything like myself to be humble.
You know, that's the attitude many people have, you know. It's just really difficult.
Or it's hard for me to speak to these people that think they know everything, you know.
But you've got to give God credit. All wisdom comes from him. He just kind of loans it to you. Now, if you think I'm saying don't take pride in yourself, or if you're thinking God says don't take pride in yourself, that's not what he's saying. Now, I'm not saying be a prideful person in that you are on an ego trip in that way or are covetous. Be proud of what you're doing for him and the fact that he has his hand on you and blesses you. I think probably the weakest part of man is to follow that first beatitude. I mean, it's the hardest for many people, it would seem, to follow that first beatitude. And I thank God that we can't con him. He knows what our hearts are. So if you ever find yourself, have you ever noticed Satan's main MO, his main method of operation?
he uses it through his children. He comes up and says, "My, what a wonderful person you are. You are great, man. I mean, great. Fantastic. The way you have the ability to do this, that, or the other. Maybe it's the paint or whatever. Look out, friend." I mean, that's Satan's method, is to really build you up and then just jerk the carpet right out from under you. And what a hard fall it is. Because if you, in your heart, get on one of those jags like that, God will not keep Satan from jerking the carpet out from under you, because it's time to go to the woodshed. Okay? And he'll let you make the trip. So, be humble, knowing that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Think about it. An eternity under the King and His dominion. Fantastic. Fantastic. And we're not talking about 4 years in office here. We're talking about an eternity. And when I read those great verses Revelation chapter 21, I read there, and it states concerning our kingdom that here we see Israel. There's not a tear. There's no pain. There's no thief. No murderer. No liar. And what's this coming? What's this coming toward Jerusalem? We see the nations, which is the Greek word ethnos, and it's the Gentiles that come with their own kings and queens. And God is picking out some of those kings today that are happy, that follow His word. And there we are in that kingdom. No difference. All the same kingdom. But some people, because of what they accomplish in this earth or what has been put upon them, have a few extra blessings. And believe it or not, the Gentile has those extra blessings. For Israel, there's only one king. But there are many kings and queens today of the Gentiles, peoples, that are living on this earth that know the wise counsel of our Father. Now on to the second one, verse 4. Blessed. Blissfully happy. This is not joy, something that fades when the moment passes, but something that is with you 24 hours a day. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn in what way? Any person that doesn't mourn a little bit, even though they're happy, when you listen to the news today, young people butchering themselves in many places with weaponry, crime climbing, weep for them because they have been led to believe there's no hope. And my, in this nation we have hope that abounds if a person gets their teeth into it and hangs on and becomes a can-do type person. And say to those that would try to say, "It's hopeless," say, "Get out of my way and let a good man through. A man of God that can get it done." It's time, and God is calling people out to realize that when discipline and the love of God leaves the country, we're in trouble. And unfortunately, with some of the moves that our present leadership has made, you're knocking on the door. I put on the, unfortunately, I really didn't want to because of mothers with sons in the service, but on the number right now, the little 3-minute prophetic message we put on the telephone with current events and prophecy. Remember, after God stated, "Keep the military clean," after it was opened up by our present president, it wasn't like Desert Storm where we only lost a very small number, and that because of landmines and things. We lost 18 in one night. Don't you know what 18 means biblically? It's the number of bondage. Do you not remember Christ saying, why do those say those 18 that died when the Tower of Siloam fell, that they were any better than anyone else? God said, I'll leave the camp. We shouldn't have lost 18. Verse 5. Blessed are happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those that humbly, I don't like the word meek as it's translated here because many people from English misunderstand it. I'm supposed to be a wet noodle that is so meek I don't even chirp, you know, if somebody steps on my foot. If somebody steps on your foot and say, hey, excuse me, excuse me. And if they step on it again, say more than excuse me. That has nothing to do with being meek this way, all right? And you know, I'm not opposed to, you know, if somebody deliberately doing it, I'm going to love him, that I'm going to teach him a lesson, and I'm going to give him a, you know, like this. And I love you, brother. That means don't get on my foot, you know, like you correct a child. Sometimes you have to put a little. But meekness is to be meek before God and that you know I'm nothing compared to him. But as far as your neighbor is concerned, do him as you would have him do you. And get along with him if it is possible. Do you understand? Don't let some powder puff godly person tell you you've got to let everybody walk over you. Christians are not second class citizens. It means that you get along if you can. That's scripture, all right? Now, I don't know why that came into this, but it's just the word meek, I think. Understand, it means be meek before your Father. Give him the credit. And you keep those traces taut and keep plowing. And just as sure as he furnished all of the material to rebuild the wall for Ezra and Nehemiah, from the enemy's camp even, talk them into it, touch their minds. As long as you plow ahead, God will prepare you with the material to build with. Do you understand? That's a promise from him. He'll do it. But you've got to have the nerve and the faith to step out and say, give me another board, all right? I'm ready to build, and he will supply the material. Okay, now let's go on, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Very happy are those that hunger for a biscuit, for the truth. What is truth? It's God's word to you, wisdom, understanding. That commodity, that thing that strengthens you in your life whereby you're not going to be stopped, beloved, in your walk with God. What did he say? Maybe. If you search for righteousness, count it. Let's say it this way. So maybe, I'm not saying that you're to be a saint, and I, if you want to try, it's all right with me, but I've tried it a few times, and I always seem like my wings get clipped or something, and the only wings I have is the old Cheyenne 400, you know, as we're flying along. We try, but it means to, righteous means to do it right. Seek the right path. Try to treat people just and right the way your Father would have you to. They're going to respect you for it. They're going to love you for it. But the right way is what way then? God's way. His set of instructions. Do you know what I'm talking about? That makes you happy. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. Money will not make you happy. Well, I went out and this guy passed me a little box of pills the other day and I took one of those and I was happy for a little while. Hey, friend, synthetic happiness, whether you find it in a bottle or whether you find it in a box or whether it's like those headache powders, you know, or whatever, that's not happiness, that's destruction. That's Satan's best tool.
don't try to find happiness through synthetic means or materials. It's a bummer if there was ever a bummer. Now, what you do in your own life is your own business. God said, do everything in moderation. Take a little wine for the good of your stomach. It sure beats a mill town, and it sure beats a Valium. I'm not, you that are on medication, if anyone should be, hey, I'm not telling you to come off of it, but I'm telling you what my father says. Always do what your doctor says. But you're not to partake of strong drink, which is to say, a little bit for the good of your stomach, not a gallon. All right? That makes a whole bunch of difference. And if you have a problem with it, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Okay. What was our next one? We got 7, didn't we? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I like to translate this compassion. You show me a person that has compassion for his fellow man, and I'll show you a person that God is dealing with and using and is going to use more and more and more. It is a trait that all people that God chooses have. You can always, they may not have all of these we've read to this point, but every person that God chooses as a Christian, or that is to say to utilize in his work, the kingdom, to touch others, to plant seed, has compassion for other people, has compassion for animals, and never apologize for the fact that you have compassion for other people. It's one of the best signs of happiness there is. After all, if we were to take election, and as it is written in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I chose you before the foundations of this earth. And I truly believe he did choose the elect before the foundations of this earth at Satan's first overthrow. Even the kings and the queens of the ethnos, I think they were chosen then before the foundations of this earth. Why? God knows he can count on that soul because it has compassion. Therefore, it was written in Acts chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 concerning Esau and Jacob, God himself saying, I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. They're still in their mother's womb. What he was saying is I hate the souls and love the soul that I'm putting in those boys, okay? Yeah, God chose them. He knows. But if you ever want to really evaluate someone, and we're not really supposed to, it's not our business. Well, as far as their relationship to you is concerned, you should, in that sense. They will always have compassion for their fellow man. Verse 8, blessed, blissfully happy are the pure in heart, that's to say mind, for they shall see God. Don't forget, he said, if you seek the truth, I'll fill your head with it. And if you have a pure heart, you're going to see God. Do you know what I think this means personally? I think he's going to speak to you a long time before a lot of people think they're going to see him. I think he's going to talk to you. I think the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and through you as it is written. May have already. Who knows? Verse 9. Blessed are completely happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. How do you make peace? By being honest. Christianity has taken a turn that, in unfortunately, way too many churches, they think that a peacemaker is a soothsayer. Unfortunately, all they talk about is love, 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 love. And there's nothing wrong with love, but they never get to the problem. Don't want to talk about that. Well, that could upset someone. Truth only can make peace. That's honesty. That's true honesty. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is, I repeat, is the kingdom of God. Sometimes you are persecuted for simply being a Christian. Not a popular thing anymore, mainly because of our media, the press, and a few other things. If someone makes a Christian statement, they're usually snickered at or something of that nature. That's all right. They won't have the last chuckle, all right? And we're not going to be people that say, I told you so, or anything like that. But what it really means is if you're happy, if you're blissfully happy because you have absorbed what you can of God's wisdom, that if someone begins to pick on you because of your righteousness, you don't have to worry about taking care of them. Your Father will. Your Father has a way. Some of you Christians stop and think someone really offended you. Before 4 months goes by, God will slap them down. I've seen it, broken legs. I've seen so many different things where God has a way of protecting His own to knock your enemy off of your back. If he comes in too close, you may have to do it yourself, but God protects His children. Why? He's natural. He's supernatural, more natural than you are. Do you stand around and let somebody beat on one of your kids? I think not. He doesn't like it. And God, have you ever heard it said, we know we have a God of love? Yes. But almost in as many places, He's a jealous God. Leave my kids, that's my kid, leave him alone. And He's a God of vengeance. Move away. God protects His happy children. It's so wonderful to attain that peace of mind, which is allowing your mind to absorb. For what we have read this morning is not my word, but it's your Father's promise. And I, for one, can attest that it's true, that you can find that happiness rather than being a leaf drifting in the stream, hither, yonder, never sure of anything. But you can solidify your being and find that happiness by knowing you're a child of the King. Okay? 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For what reason? For my sake. When you stand up, you know that God's elect are going to stand up before the false Messiah when He appears, as it's written in Mark 13, and you're not to premeditate what you'll say beforehand, but He will give you the words at that time. Luke 21 even states that the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say. God is choosing a people. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. All the men of God were persecuted. You remember the parable. You know, the prophets were persecuted, and some worse, but they crucified your Savior. He was persecuted for you. He didn't say, well, I don't think I want to go up on that cross today for you. It's too cold, or it's too hot. I just don't feel like doing it today. He went without a whimper because He loves you. Make that step to gain all the wisdom you can. And beloved, you will be happy. You will be blessed. You will be prosperous. You will not be prosperous because a big bag of money is going to be received in the mail for you. Praise God, if it does, fine. But did He give you some hands and some feet? And if you're handicapped, He gave you a mind. You make it yourself, and then He blesses everything you touch. He blesses your business, so on and so forth. Okay? In closing, I want to go to my old friend, the fisherman, that old great fisherman, Peter. He had a way of saying things. There are many places where these words, as well as other words for beatitudes, are used. in the Scripture that we could take advantage of. But let's see, I want to try. Let's go to 1 Peter, and let's take chapter 3. Okay, let's pick it up. I mean, this old boy could teach. You know, Peter was quite a teacher. He was an old fisherman. He wasn't as well educated. Well, he was educated by our father himself, so he pretty well got things said. Verse 13 of third chapter, 1 Peter. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? 14. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy, I repeat, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. You don't have to worry, my friend. You know what? To worry is to doubt every promise of God. It is. It's well to be concerned and plan, but don't worry. If you're a child of God like you claim to be, He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's in your mind. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I would rather translate the fear reverence. I think even in my old King James it says here it's reverence over in the center column. Again, that word meekness, do you understand what that's saying? When somebody sees what a go-getter you are, and I don't, you know, I'm talking about a real go-getter, not some like they have here in Arkansas, all right? They hang around the house till 4 o'clock and then go get her from her job. I'm talking about get out there and get it done, all right? But give God the credit when someone notices that you're a can-do type person. Don't take it yourself. Do you understand where the big difference comes in there? Because, see, then you become a sign of the kingdom. I said, you become the sign for the kingdom if you give the credit where it belongs, to your Father. He gave you the wisdom. He gave you the ability. And people will say, ooh, I want to feel that. I want to taste that cup. You see, it works, dear one. It works. 15, but sanctify the Lord God in... Oh, was that the one we just read? Yeah. 16. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I'll tell you what I'd a lot rather suffer for, because He can sure make that paddle burn when you're suffering for evil doing. And we all get there sometimes. All right, we all fall a little bit short. One more verse comes to mind in the fourth chapter, if I can locate it here. Okay. Okay, it's the 14th verse. Chapter 4, verse 14. And we're going to close with these scriptures. If ye be, the chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 14, if ye be reproached, let's say somebody curses you for the name of Christ, happy are you. I repeat, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Hey, do you know something? He died on the cross. But if you will do what He just said there, you can glorify Him. When someone evilly speaks of a Christian, to let your truth and wisdom shine in a very nice way or in a stern way if it's necessary. A sign of God. A sign that God has His hand on you. The glory doesn't go to you. And that's fine. You glorify He that died on the cross for you. Hey, there weren't that many standing around at the foot of the cross supporting Him that day. but we can sure do it in this generation by saying, I'm proud to be a servant of the King, because He makes you a success. All right? Happy is that one. 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. I know we don't have any busybodies in here, because we won't allow it. But verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? So there you have it. Happiness. Happy is the person that receives wisdom and instruction from your Father. I tell you this, the gates open and the flood of blessings begin to pour out. Does it happen overnight? Well, many might say, well, we'll use myself as an example, how this ministry grew. Do you know how long it took? 40 years. Don't be impatient, all right? Don't be impatient. Again, I didn't do it, God did. But this body, God accomplished it in His own time and in His own place. Be patient and set that example. Yep, there'll be moments of joy, my dear friends, but your family will have a lot fewer arguments. Your family will have a lot more time in happiness, period. And you know what? Joy is not happiness, but when you are happy, joy comes a lot more often. And that's good. Joy never hurt anyone. But we don't want to go around with joy all the time, I suppose. We may but always be happy. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm sure you do, because of that simplicity in which Christ taught it. He's a great Savior. So when you're out in this world, which Satan has his little do going on right now, be somebody. Be a child of God. Let people see what a child of God looks like, because they will know if you're happy that you've got something and they need it. But the blessings fall on you. Happy are you that are a part of His kingdom. Father, we thank You for the Word, Father. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You, Father, for being our Father. And we ask that You bless these and all they come in contact with, Father. Lead, guide, and direct. We'll be careful to give You the praise. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Okay, we just...